This year is Daf Ayin Hey. Daf Ayin Hey. Yes, we are on Daf Ayin Vav, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rish Lakish. Today's shiur is sponsored by Aaron Amina Friedman, Le'ilinishmas Moshe Yecheskel Ben Yehoshua, and by Akiva and Ahuva Silver, Le'ilinishmas Hendel Bas Menachem, and Sega Chaya Bas Akiva. And we're also learning today for Le'ilinishmas Shmuel Eliezer Ben Alexander. Okay, so today's entire daf is a Gadata. Most of it is about the Mon. So before we get to that, Amar Rish Lakish, amazing statement. Tov Mara Einayim Beisha. Greater is the hana of looking at a woman who you're not supposed to be looking at. Greater is that hana Yoser Migufa Shel Maisa. Greater than the act itself. What does that mean? So many Mefarshim say it means, back to what we had said earlier in the Masechta, in the beginning of the summer, that Hiruri Aveira is worse than the actual Aveira. Right? What I think Rosh Lakish is saying is, maybe he knew best, because he was once upon a time a bandit who was probably more Baal Taiva than later on, right? He fasted for many, many years. You know, your imagination can run away with you more than reality can. And you have all these fantasies about what's going to be, what kind of... I mean, actually do the Avera. Okay, fine, he did the Avera. But the fantasy and the imagination is much greater, much more exciting than the actual act. And that's just what he's alluding to. That's what he's saying. Right? You could conjure up and rile yourself up to all these things of what's going to happen. Okay, so the Avera happened. So you look back, years later, your excitement about the Avera was much greater than the actual Avera. Whatever, he's talking about women, whatever it is. Food, whatever it is. This is a very amazing insight into human personality. When I read it, I thought to myself, it's so true. You conjure up and you fantasize, okay, they're very calm, okay, it wasn't so amazing, you know. Just a very, very, very interesting insight into the way people behave. Shenamar, there's a pasuk. Tov mare inayim, better is the sight for the eyes, mahalich nefesh, than the experience, than the actions for the soul. Now another pasuk, ki tein bekos eino, when you put your eyes to the cup, meaning when you get drunk, yithalech b'meisharim, you walk upright. Which doesn't seem to make sense. Why should being drunk make you walk upright? Just the opposite. So of course it's going to be interpreted the opposite way. Rav Ami v'Ravasi, chad amar, one shot says, kol hanosin eino bekoso, whoever gets himself drunk, he puts his eyes to the cup, meaning Rashi says, ohev shichrus, he loves being drunk, then Arayas kulan doma alav kamisha. All Arayas look to you like a misha, like a plane. Meaning, it's like you wander there. Right? That's all it means. You can just the opposite. It's not a pshevach. When someone's drunk, everything's mutter. And similarly, v'chad amar, kol hanosin ein of bekoso, whoever gets drunk, kol ha'olam kule doma alav kamisha. The whole world looks like a plane. Not just Arayas. The whole world. Rashi says, money. Other people's money. Money on cherem domelo heter, right? There's no hold bar. There's no restraint when you're drunk. Everything's okay. Next, daiga belev ish yishchena, a person who has a daiga, he's worries in his heart. A man has a worry in his heart. Yishchena. Yishchena means he should like get rid of it, crush it, and stomp on it and destroy it. What does that mean? So Rav Ami v'Ravasi, again, these psukim have nothing to do with each other, except that Rav Ami v'Ravasi argued about how to interpret them. Rav Ami v'Ravasi, chad amar yishchena midaito, you should crush it with your das, meaning Rashi, I think, says elsewhere, that means learn Torah. Get your mind off your worries, occupy yourself with Torah. V'chad amar yishchena la'achirim. And others say, how do you get rid of your worry? By talking about it with achirim. Rashi says, Shema Yisi'uhu Eitza. Maybe they'll give you advice. You talk about your problems, you have worries. You talk about your worries, they'll alleviate your worry. Maybe they'll have some advice for you. Right? Some Mefarshim point out, it doesn't say your relatives. It's like, oh, go to other people. Don't always go to your relatives. Go to other people. The Menachas Elazar, the Menachas Rebbe, has an unbelievable vart. He says, you know what it means? Go to Acherim. Right? There's one person in the Gemara who's also called Acherim. Who's that? Reb Meir. Right? He says, Acher Momrim, who's that? That's Reb Meir. So he says, you go to Reb Meir. What do you go to Reb Meir? He says, yeah, go to Reb Meir Balanes. He says, you give tzedakah to Reb Meir Balanes. That takes care of all your worries. It's one of the Rukaros. the Remei of Alanes is a special tzedakah, right? People, almost a lot of people have a Remei of Alanes pushkin in their house somewhere, or they had it when they were little, because based on this, you have problems, Remei of Alanes will take care of it. Remei, go to a cherim, go to Remei, Remei will take care of all your problems. Okay, the nachash afar lachmo, and the nachash will eat his bread is dust. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Mufarshim question, why don't we just bring the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis? That the nachash was cursed to eat dust. Why do I have to go to Yeshaya for this? Anyway, Rami Vervasi, maybe because Rami Vervasi don't argue on the pasuk in Bereishis, but they argue over here. Chad Armor 1 says, Afilu ochel kol ma'adenei olam, even if the snake eats all the delicacies of the world, toim behem tam afar. It all tastes like the same. It all tastes like dust. V'chad Amar, and the other one says, a little slightly different. Afilu ochel kol ma'adnei olam, even if he eats every of the delicacies in the world, ein daitom yushevet alav ad she'ochel afar. It doesn't sit well with the nachash until it eats dust. In other words, it gets nothing out of all the delicacies of the world. Just dust. Tanya, and Amar of Yossi, look how Hashem punishes, the way Hashem punishes, and the way a regular Basav Adam would punish. Because Basav Adam, a regular person, maknid es chaveiro, if you want to crush you want to beat on your friend, what do? Yored imo l'chayev. The best way to get a person is to get rid of their parnasa. But you make a guy poverty stricken, that's like the best punishment you can give somebody, right? Best. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Hashem doesn't act like that way. He always provides a silver lining. Kiel es hanachash, he cursed the nachash, but ol agag, if a nachash is on a roof, mizanos avimo, the food's there. Yored lamata, if he goes down to somewhere, wherever he is, mizanos avimo, his food is there. Every nachash, it always does, dust is everywhere. So nachash always has food. Right? So then everyone asks, what kind of klala was that? What's the klala? Nachash always has food? Right? That's not a klala even. We're going to have, Canaan was punished, Canaan's a slave, but a slave has a silver lining, because a slave, you're in the palace, you have what to eat, right? You have a silver lining over there, even though you're cursed. It's sometimes better to be a slave, at least you're taken care of, right? The master doesn't want you to die. He'll take, okay, he might mistreat you, but at least ultimately you have some... You have some breathing room, you have some relief. What's the klala here? The nachash never has to be without food? What kind of klala is that? So amazing Kutzker. Kutzker says, as a reason of Gavorki, who said it? It's not so clear. Well, the reason of Gavorki certainly said it, but I also heard it in the name of the Kutzker, that that's what Hashem was saying to the nachash. This is a davening part. He says, always Rosh Hashanah you hear this part. Hashem said to the Nachash, I want to have nothing to do with you. I want to have no relationship with you. You will never need to ask me for anything. That's the biggest klal of all. You will never need to ask me for food. You will never need to daven. You'll never need to cry to me. You'll always have whatever you need. And therefore, I have no relationship with you. That's the biggest klal of all. The greatest klal is not to have a relationship with Hashem. That's unbelievable. Vark. Okay. Another example where there was a klal, but there was a silver lining. Kiel es Kenan. Right, Hashem cursed Canaan, and right it says there it was really Noach, but it was through Hashem that Canaan is going to be Eved. So Abel Ochel Mashrab Ochel Vashosa Mashrab Vashosa. At least the Eved has what to eat. He eats the leftovers, but there's always food there in the palace. There was food there by the master. So it was a curse, but it could have been even worse. It could have been you're a wanderer. It could have been your no. That wasn't the curse. The klala was it could be an Eved. An Eved had a little bit of a nechama. Kiel et ha'isha. Hashem cursed Isha. Right? What was her curse? Her curse was she's had difficulty in labor, but look at the bracha. What's the silver lining? Hakol rotz en acharis. Everybody chases her. Everybody wants to be with her. Right? So there's a curse, but there's a silver lining there. Kilel es ha'adama. Hashem cursed the ground. That was when Hashem cursed the ground and said you're going to produce thorns, right? Nevertheless, hakol nizonen haymena. Everybody still gets sustained from the ground. Everybody still works the ground. The whole world, they're growing on the ground. So even though there's a klala, there's still a silver lining. Now we're going to talk about the mon. So before we start talking about the mon, let's do a little bit. Then we'll ask the question. Zacharnu es hadog asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish. The Bnei Yisrael complain in Parshas Vahalotcha. We remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim for free. Very difficult pasuk. Remember the fish, we ate the mitzvah for free. What does that mean? So, Rabu Shmuel, Chad Omar Dogim, one said it was really fish, talking about fish. Remember the fish. The Chad Omar Arayas. We remember the Arayas. That's what they were referring to. We remember how in Mitzrayim we were much more free, we could marry much more people, and now you gave us the Torah, so it was so restrictive. And they were complaining about that. Now, Manda Omar Dogim, the one who said it's fish, the Ksiv, it says, Nochal. We remember the fish that we ate. So, Manda Amar Arayas, the Ksiv, because it says, Chinam. What, the Egyptians gave them fish for free? It doesn't make any sense. They were slaves. They wouldn't give them straw. They're going to give them fish. So, what does it mean, Chinam? It must be an illusion. What's free? Right? That's free. Arayas doesn't cost any money. That's free. It must be an allusion to that. Now, Ulamanda Amar Arayas, Haksiv Nochal. But it said they ate it. Right? So the Gemara answers, no, Lishnam al Yanakat. It's a euphemism. The Ksiv, like I said at the Pasuk in Mishlei, Achla, the woman she eats, Umaksa Pia, she wipes her mouth, V'Amr, and she says, Lo pa'alti oven, I didn't do a sin. And that's a reference to a Zona, who charges money. Right? Rashi says, wiping her mouth means she cleans herself off after she has relations with, after people pay her. So you see that the word, that the mice of Znos, is a euphemism, could be a euphemism for eating. So that's what it means in the Torah, that it was nothing to do with fish, nothing to do with that. It's all about Arayas. Well, Mandar Madogim, and according to others who say it was Mistaka fish, my chinam. What does it mean, chinam? Certainly the Egyptians didn't give them fish for free. For sure not. So Gemara says, no, Dohayumiyaitin la mehef kera. They were able to somehow get fish from Hefker. How? Damar Mar, Kishar Yisrael Shofin Mayim, when the Jewish people would draw the water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezamin Lahem B'socha Mayim Dogim Kitanim B'Kadehem. Hashem would provide small fish in their jugs of water, where they would take the water to drink, there'd be fish in there, give them a little sustenance. Again, there was a silver lining there, so they did get it for free. The Egyptians didn't give it to them, they got it on their own, they got it for free. So, fine. So Bishlam Alanda Amar Dogim, it makes sense to say that they were complaining about real fish. Aval Arayas, but what if they were complaining about Arayas? Lo Pirti Bahu. They weren't Pritzus in Egypt. As a matter of fact, we said it last week that in Parashas Bamidbar, Hashem puts his name to each family. Nobody had Arayas. None of that went on. What are they complaining about? They were all pure. Right, in one case that Shlomo's Bas Dibri was one instance, one case, 600,000 men, one case, Mistar with the same amount of women. So it was one case where there was a riot. What are they complaining about? They weren't preaching. So the Gemara says, Hainu Dixiv, Gan No'ol Achosi Kala, right, the Kala's guarded, right, meaning they weren't preachers. El, Levandar my riots, Mayin Chosim, Mayim Chosim, which means that it was a sealed fountain, meaning that the Bnei Yisrael were a sealed fountain. They were pure. So where's the Arayas they're complaining about? So the Gemara answers, Mehanach da'asirin lo pritzi b'hu. What it's saying is that until the Torah was given, they kept the Arayas of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. That's what it means they were pure. But all the other Arayas, which were asered by the Torah, that they didn't keep. That's what they were complaining about. You're right. Whatever laws were existing at the time of that they were there, whatever the Mitzvot Bnei Noach for Arayas were, they kept. And for that, not one person deviated, but all the other extras that they didn't keep, that's what they were complaining about. Now, Bishlam Alamanda Amar Arayas, Hayonu Dixiv, that's what it says. Vayishru Moshe Esa'am Bochel Mishpachosav. What does that mean? Al Iske Mishpachosav. They were crying with the families. What does that mean? Yeah, they were crying about their families. Shenesu Lehem Lishkav Etzlam. They couldn't be with whoever they wanted to be with. Ella Levanda Amar Dogim My Bochel Mishpachosav. So they're complaining about fish. Why does the Torah say they cry with the families? What does that mean? So the Gemara says Ha V'ha Ha. It was really both. It was really both. So everybody holds they were also crying about Arayas. Everybody agrees to that, which is amazing, because in the context of the Torah you wouldn't think that, because the very next issue is the Slav, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, which would seem to imply that it was a reaction, right? Hashem says, you're complaining about food, I'll give you food. So if they're complaining about Arayas, there's no action. There's no follow-up. But, so Gemara says, now the Torah says, Et ha-kishuim ve-et ha-avatichim. We remember the cucumbers and the melons, all these wonderful things we were able to eat in Mitzrayim. So Rav Amir Rav Asi, again, Chad Amar, Tam Kol Haminin, Tam O Baman, you were able to taste anything. The man could taste like anything. Baman, Tam Mechameshes Haminim Halal, Lo Tam Ubo. But the five things mentioned in that pasuk in Parshas Pa'aloscha, kishur is cucumbers. I think there's some spices mentioned over there. Those five things were not able to be tasted. Couldn't you could try all you wanted, it wouldn't work. Why not? Because the Gemara Rashi says over here, the Medrash says, because these five things are, for whatever reason, harmful to pregnant women. They're harmful to pregnant women. So why couldn't it be that only pregnant women couldn't take those things? It's kasha. Anyway, no one was able to get the taste, the flavor out of these things because they're harmful to pregnant women. So therefore, it wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. And that's what they'd be moaning. Oh, we remember the melons because we can't have melons now. V'chad amar, tam kol amidim tamo taimon uma mashon. You were able to taste the taste and the feeling and the texture and the feeling. V'halalu taimon v'lova mashon. But here you couldn't taste the taste, yes, but not the feeling, like we said yesterday, right? If you can't see what you're eating, it's not the same. So even though they could taste melon, but they couldn't have the feeling of melon, they were complaining about that. So this is one of the kashas that Rasher Weiss collected, a whole bunch of kashas about the mun, was, what did they do? What did they do on Pesach? Did they make the mun into matzah, or did they get real matzah? So where did they get matzah from? So the machlokas we showed him. Where did Bnei Yisrael get, in the Midbar, when they wanted to bring a carbon mincha, what did they bring? Did they bring mun? Or, they want flour, right? Did they bring mun? And make it into, and pretend? Or, did they buy flour from the nomads? From the wanderers in the desert? What did they do? So it's a machlokas. Rashi says they bought flour. Ritva says no, they used the mun. So similar machlokas here. But here it's a little different, because the question is, you have to use matzah for the chamesh shminei dagim. You can't use mun. Or can you? Since so some wanted to suggest the one who holds that it was tam and mamish, so it's mamish wheat. You can mamish biyote matzah. This is a shaila based on medrash. There's no nafkamina here. Just theoretical shaila. What was the mun? What were the properties of the mun? Would a matzah work or not? Or you have to get real matzah. It's a shaila. Another shaila that you ask is, did they make a bracha on mun? Anyone know? Hamos Alechem in Hashemayim, everyone knows that. Where'd that come from? Who said that? Where does it say that? Hamos Alechem in Hashemayim. That's a Sefer Hasidim says that. The Zohar says they made bracha. The Bnei Saskha says they for sure did not make a bracha. Because he says the whole reason you're making a bracha is to differentiate the good from the bad. I'm making a bracha on this as opposed to that. That's what the whole purpose of a bracha is. A month is no bad. It's like a false statement. He says also, if you think about it, everything's from Shemayim. But Hamotzi Lechem in Ha'aretz, we say on the ground. It's really from Shemayim. We all know that, right? The rain, the whole thing is Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim. That could be a bracha on every single food in the whole world. Hamotzi Lechem in Hashemayim. So only the Monday made such a bracha like that? It's hard to say that. He says, what's an afkamina for this? He says, I have an afkamina. He says that the tzuda shall love yasam, when Mashiach comes, and we all get that tzuda, they're going to bring out the jar of man. So what bracha are we going to make? Are we going to make a bracha? Most mafarshim say that there is a bracha. What taka hamotzi lechem min hashamayim? That's a tradition that we have. But some people argue. It's like, no, there's no bracha. That's another one of these discussions. So what did the mun look like? Kizera gad lavan. It was like a white seed, a white coriander seed. However, if anybody ever saw a coriander seed, I never did. And if I did, I didn't know it was coriander seed. They're not white. What does it mean? So the whole white and coriander is going to be the whole word God, which means coriander, and lavan, which means white, are going to be darshan. Amar yoasi agol kigida. It just means it was round like a seed. The lavan kimar golias, and it was white like a pearl. That's all it means. The others say the Tanur Rabbanon God shadoma lazera pishton. It looked like a flax seed, bigvu ulin, when it was in its stalk, so that it has a roundish appearance. Acher moment, others say, God shadomu lahagada. The idea is that it's like agadata. Agadata gemara. Everybody loves agadata. Everybody loves today's daf. Everybody loves agadata. Even though we all know on some level there's a lot of deepness here, But still, on the surface, this is much better than Tumat Haira. This is much better than Lomdis and back and forth. Everyone loves Agarata. So too, everybody loved the Mun. The Mun was so easy to, it was so easy to enjoy. Agarata is so easy to enjoy. The Mun, so easy to enjoy. It tastes like anything. The Shemoshechas Libo. Everyone's drawn toward it. And Shel Adam. And Kimayim, just like water. Tanya Idach, God. Shemagid Lehem Yisrael. It was able to testify, to tell God, from Haggadah to tell, Iben Tishal Rishon v'Iben Shival Achron. Right? If a woman gets divorced, so and then she has a baby 7 months later. She's supposed to wait 3 months. Well, she didn't wait 3 months. So who does the baby belong to? Is it the first husband or the second husband? We don't know. But the Mun could tell you. How could the Mun tell you? Because we're going to see in a minute. And Lavan, why is it called Lavan? Shemal ben Avonotzei and Shal Yisrael. Because it would whiten the sins of the Bnei Yisrael. How would it do that? Because it made you very, very, it made you a big believer in Hashem. It's a lot of davening. Why? Am I getting my food tomorrow? Is it coming tomorrow? I don't know. If it doesn't come, I have nothing to eat. So it would cause people to daven a lot. But Hashem, continue this tomorrow. Because I don't know, otherwise I have nothing to eat. I'm in a desert. So it was a very good tshuva method. Because it got you to daven. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kishem Shahanavi Hayimagid Lehem Yisrael Ma Shebechor Ma Shebesdukin. Just like the Navi could tell you what your chesronos are, right? Look in your nooks and crannies of your heart. The monk could do the same thing. Ketzad, how? Shnayim shebol lefnei Moshe, ledun. Two people come to Moshe. Ze omar avdi ganavta. This guy stole my slave. It's mine. Ze omar, no, atu machatli. No, you sold it to me. There was a sale. So amalo, amalahem Moshe, leboker mishpat lemachar. Tomorrow we'll have a judgment. In the morning we'll have a judgment. The morning will know the answer. How? Lamacha the next day. Im nimta amru b'bayis rishon. If the b'bayis rabo rishon. If the next morning, right, an omer fell per person per day. So where's the omer falling for this eved? If it's in the bayis rishon. If the omer fell there, right? There's four people in that tent. There's three family members and the eved supposed to be there. So if there's four that fell over there, be a duash zeganavo. You know, it was stolen. That's where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be here. But v'yamnimta omro b'bayis rabo sheni. If it fell over there by the second guy, then v'yadua shetem machrulo. You know that there was a sale. V'chein also ish v'isha shemol lefnei Moshe lodun ze omer he sarcha alai. My the woman says he befouled me. He's finding a reason not to pay me the ksuva. He's making up reasons against me. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Right? I don't have to pay the ksuva. He says that I don't have to pay. He says to her, he comes to Bezdin and says, I don't have to pay the tshuva, she's no good. V'hi amaris, no, who saw Rechalai? He's making up kindness against me. Nothing wrong with me. Right? So each one says, so same thing. Amar lehem Moshe, leboker mishpat, tomorrow will be, leboker, in the morning will be a mishpat. Lamachar, im nimsa omer b'bayis, bala, if the omer, her omer, remained in the house, b'yadua, shehi sarcholav, then it's an obvious that she's supposed to remain there. He's right, and really she's supposed to be there. But what could he do? She doesn't deserve the ksuva. But nimsa omeris bebeis aviha. What if the omer is in her father's house by her father? Then biyadua shehu tzarach aleha. She doesn't belong home. She doesn't belong home because he's basically acting improper. She can't stay. She had to go back to her father. So it was able to judge what was the story. Same thing with the ben tisha and the ben shiva. Where would the extra omer be? Would it be by the first husband or by the second husband? Then you'd know who the baby belongs to. That's unstated, but that's the same shot. So everyone has the same kasha. All right, we say Torah lo b'shamayim hi, but Moshe's using magic to decide who halacha. We don't do that. They would never ask the Urvatum halacha. So let's get advice. It's halacha. So some say Moshe Rabbeinu was different because Torah lo b'shamayim doesn't apply to Moshe. Moshe was in the Shemayim. He was both. So you can't say that about Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody else you could, not about Moshe. Others say no, a little difficult answer, but they say that Moshe was not, they weren't being mavar with the halacha here. They were just being mavar with the Matzias. Like that's, it's a little bit of a circular answer, right? They weren't being mavar with the halacha. What's the halacha when an eved stole it? Now that's the halacha we know. What the halacha is, that's lo b'shamayim. Who does this eved belong to? It's a question of Matzias. Once we resolve the Matzias, all the other issues will fall away. Was it stolen? How much do I have to pay? Back and forth, right? If a woman, does it have the ksuva? How much ksuva? What's she entitled? What's the halacha? What did she do to warrant? What did he do to warrant? That's all halacha. But the metzias, that the mom could tell you. Okay. So we can stop here and ask the following question. What's this doing here, Masechus Yuma? What possessed Ravina and Ravashi to put the mun? We're not done yet with the mun. What possessed them to put it right here in the middle of Masechus Yuma? To end the Masechus Yuma? No, we started off Zechariah with Hadagah. Just started the last skinny line. Right. Because we said Inui, and Hashem said I was. And that lets us into the right. So that's the pashtus. But is there anything deeper? It's a whole omid, a whole blot on just mun. Is there anything deeper than that? So if Tzadik said yes, it's something deeper. You know what he said? He said as follows. He said, eating mun was spiritual. Eating mun was a spiritual event. It wasn't a normal thing. You never have to go to the bathroom. It could taste like whatever you want. It was a spiritual event. And when we come back, when we come in heaven, there will be a time where there's no eating. There's no eating. There's no drinking. There's no playing. There's no physical pleasures in the next world. It's only spiritual. Mun was a spiritual and physical all mixed up. On Yom Kippur, we tell Hashem we're going into that spiritual. We know there's going to be a time when it's going to be spiritual. On Yom Kippur, there's no eating. There's no drinking. There's no physical pleasure on Yom Kippur. And that's what this is doing here. They put the mun here the mun is a clue to what spirituality is all about. Yes, it was eating because you have to live. You have to live in this world, but it was all spiritual, and that's what it's doing here. When we on Yom Kippur is a spiritual world. And I saw the Have a Sefer Home called Sedate Sofim. I always had a kasha. I never had an answer to this question. He says that is the makar to eating kreplach on Erev Yom Kippur. What's kreplach? It's meat surrounded by dough. He says mun was mun surrounded by dew. Meat surrounded, nothing to do with that. It's the idea that there's a hidden food inside an outer layer. The mun was a hidden food outside an outer layer. So on Erev Yom Kippur, as we're entering into that spiritual day, we eat food to remind ourselves of the mun. He said that's why we eat it on Hoshana Rabbah, people have a minna, Hoshana Rabbah, which is also Yom HaDin, and Purim. So Yom Kippur is like Purim, right? How's that? There's a lot of answers, but Rav Golbach has an unbelievable shir. He says it's because of the Goral. What kind of Goral did Haman make? What kind of Goral did we make on Yom Kippur? We're big experts now on Yom Kippur. We learned the whole Masech, almost done. The Goral, the Hashem, was it really a Goral? We know it really wasn't. Right, he connects that to what was the goral that Haman made. Was it really a goral? So he has a whole connection over there. But there's other, some say what you can accomplish on Yom Kippur with fasting and Inui on Purim you can accomplish by going to your friend and bringing him Shalach Manas, which is that needs a Hesber. But anyway, getting back, that's the idea behind the mun on what this is doing in this Masechta and why we eat certain foods on Erev Yom Kippur to remind ourselves of the mun. That's the whole idea behind it all. Okay. See if it says. Now we're going to talk about right now. We're bringing us Tal Al Hamachaneh Laila, when the dew fell at night, and we're going to say that it was dew at the bottom and dew on the top, and the mun was safe and sound inside the dew. Yared Aman Alav Uksiv, and it says V'yatza Am Laktu V'laktu. The first pasuk says Ubrenas Tal Al Hamachaneh. The mun would fall on the machaneh right there. Then the next pasuk says another pasuk says V'yatza Am. The people would go out V'laktu and gather. Uksiv, another pasuk says Shatu. They would have to stroll, which implies longer walking. Shatu wa ambalaktu. So okay, so I was pshat. So tzadikim yarad al pesach batehem. Tzadikim, it would fall right in front of that. Open the door. There's the mun right there. Look at that. The bananim yatsu valaktu. They have to go out a little bit. They have to do some walking. But rishayim shatu valaktu. They have to do a lot of walking. So it depended on your life. Every morning was a question. Where's the mun going to be? Right? Is it going to be far away? How far am I have to walk? Or what did I do yesterday? So also. So to relate this back to what we said before, that nobody wanted to wake up in the morning and the mun's all far away. Everybody saw the guy, oh, he's going to get his mun. What went on yesterday? Right, that's another pshat in that it was Malvin that I want to say it. Right, it made you good because you didn't want to have to walk. V'ksiv, and it says, Ksiv lechem, mun's called lechem. V'ksiv ugos, it's also called ugos. V'ksiv etachanu, it's also called ground up. What's pshat? Haketad, tzadikim lechem. If you're a tzadik, then it had the properties of already being lechem. Meaning, if it could taste like fully made bread. But beinanim, ugos. It wasn't fully bread yet. You had to do some work. have to finish it off, like cake and bread are similar, but bread's a more finished product. So if you were baby, you have to do a little work. But Rishayim, that was the most work. Tachanu, they had to grind it up also. Meaning they had to actually grind it and like real flour. Like it wasn't just a finished product, like it's just dream it was bread. They couldn't do that. Now the Mishnah said, the Pasuk says, Tachanu Burechayim, that they ground it up in a rechayim. Oh, or dachel b'meducha, or had to use a mortar. Now, to make bread, you don't use a mortar. So what's dachel b'meducha? You don't use a mortar to make bread. So, what does that mean? So it must be alluding to something else. Amar Rav Yehud, Amar Ravi, Tamer Rav Chara, Chanina, Malamich, Yarod Lehem Yisrael, Im Haman, Takshite Nashim. That along with the man, fell perfume. But it wasn't finished perfume. It was davar shenidach b'meducha. It was spices and perfume that they had to grind up, and then the women smelled very, very nice. So it was an extra benefit that came with the man. Ubashlo b'parur, and it also says that they would cook it in a pot. Now again, you don't bake bread in a pot. So what does that mean? It's an allusion to something else. Amar Rav Chama Malamish Yarod Lehem Yisrael Im Haman Tzikei Kedera. Right, also spices for the Kedera. Also, in other words, the man just didn't come by itself. It came with added bonuses. And it says there when they used to bring the things for the Mishkan, they would bring them boker baboker every morning. Every morning, my boker baboker. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, midavash yard lehem boker baboker. Whatever came every morning, malamed shiardu lehem liyisrael avadim tovus umargaliyos evamon. That pearls and diamonds and jewels fell with the mon. What do they need all that for? That's what they brought to the Mishkan not every morning. What came every morning? That's what they brought to the Mishkan. V'nahanasiim heviu as avnei shoham. Right, and then right we know this. The Nasiim said, it's a very difficult Gemara here because the Nasiim said we'll bring whatever's lacking at the end. We'll finish off, and they were criticized for that. Rabbi Rousseau once spoke about that. Like, what's the criticism? Whatever's lacking, because it shows a lack of zrizus. Whatever the klal didn't bring, we'll take care of the rest. Right, we'll finish it off. So what was left? They wanted to bring the Avnei Shoham, and there was nothing left, so they brought the Avnei Shoham. But Tana here, the Brisa says, Nasiyim Mamish, that it was real clouds, meaning they didn't bring anything. It fell from the clouds because nobody brought anything on their own. Everything was given. Everything was hand given to them. V'chein hu omer Nasiyim Ruach v'Geshem Oyin. And here, just to show you that the word Nasiyim means clouds, the clouds and Ruach and Geshem. Right, there's no clouds, no wind, no rain. So then what's the pshat by the Nasiyim? What was the criticism? The whole thing was not really B'lev Shalem because it was all handed to them. Right, every morning, diamonds are falling. How many diamonds do they need? So they brought it to the Mishkan. So then what's going on here with the Nasiyim? This needs a Hezbo. What? The whole thing doesn't work. I know, the whole thing doesn't work. The whole thing is very difficult. It's a medrash here. I mean, it's not a garata, but obviously there's deeper meaning, but even on the surface, it's just difficult to understand because we say that the word Nasiyim there is spelled without yuds, that they were lacking, they didn't have Zerizus. We have all those members which we all know. This is one of these unknown medrashes which don't fault the Nasiyim really because they say the whole thing was a miracle. Vayitamo kitam l'shad hashemen, and if you didn't want to have a taste for the man, the stam taste of the man was the taste of l'shad hashemen, kneaded with dough with oil. L'shad means kneaded with a K. So Amarav Avohu, Mashad Zeh Tina Toimba Kama Ta'amim, just like a shad here is a reference to a breast, which is also the root Shin Dalet. Just like when a baby nurses, it tastes everything the mother ate, all different tastes. So to Afaman calls Man Shisrael Ochlan Osan Motiyabo Kama Ta'amim, it could taste like anything. It could diami, others say Lashad Mamish, that it means a shade, it means a demon. Mashad Zeh Mishapech Lekama Gvonim. Just like a shade can look like different appearances. I don't know what that means. I've never seen one. But apparently it can look like different monsters, different demons. Ahaman, mitapech lekama ta'amim. So too, some don't have this line, by the way. So too, this gear is not everywhere. So too, the mon could taste like whatever you wanted. V'yomer Moshe b'teisa om lechem be'erev basar lecha v'lechem b'boker, l'zboa. Right, that's a positive idea. Moshe decided that they should eat in the night and the morning. Tana, mishrei dov Yeshua ben Karcha. Basar shesh'alu shaloka hogan. Meat, which they asked for improperly. Right, why did they ask for it improperly? Because they had cattle. What are they asking for meat for? They had cattle. Nosin lehem shaloka hogan. Hashem gave it to them improperly. What does that mean? What did Hashem give them the meat? Hashem gave them the meat at the end of the day. In the Erev. So they ate a supper. I mean, now they're giving us meat. We already ate supper, right? It's because it's improper. You shouldn't have asked. You have. But lechem, shashal luka hogan, food and bread is a staple of life. You can't live without bread. No shon lechem kahogan. He gave it in, when did he give it? In the morning. You have a whole day now to eat. Mikan limdatar derech eretz, shlo yochel adam basar ela balayla. You shouldn't eat meat only at night. You should eat meat at night. Don't eat meat in the morning. Right? Don't have the whole day to eat meat. No, eat it at night. So, v'amar abaya, hay man d'islay sudasa lo achli ela b'yamama. If you have a sud, you should only eat by the day, because you can't see what you're eating. So Gemara says, you're right. K'en yamama, meaning with torches, you should eat at night, have an evening meal, should be meat, but not, right, so if it's dark, so light up the room, that's all. Kamrina, that's what we're talking about. Amar b'achav yakov, b'tchila ha-yisrael dom l'tar n'golem. At the beginning, the Bnei Yisrael were compared like chickens. Shemenakrin ba'ashpa, that they just peck at the garbage, meaning they're eating all day long. Ad Shabba Moshe for Kovalhem's Mansuda. And Moshe established this Mansuda, eat in the morning, eat at night, have his Mansuda. I'm not sure what this Gemara is telling us. It's difficult to understand that the Bnei Yisrael just like Hefker. Anyway, after the month, so then Hashem gave them the slav. So it says there, Habasar Odeno Beit Shinehem, that the meat was still in between their teeth, and they died. The Ksiv, and it says, Ad Chodesh Yamim. Some people lingered on for a month. So it's Pshat, Haketzad, Beinim La'alter. The Beinim died right away. And Mesu. But Rishayim, it's Ta'irin, V'holchen HaChodesh Yomim. The Rishayim lingered on for a month. What about the Tzadikim? So they didn't ask. It was an improper request. So the Tzadikim aren't even here. It's only the Beinim and the Rishayim. Vayishtechu, it says in the Torah, Vayishtechu, which means they spread out. So Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish is a play on the world. Al Pukki Vayishtechu, Ela Vayishchatu. Melameid, Shenishchai Butzorein Shal Yisrael Shechita. But the Bnei Yisrael, it says they're enemies, but it's a euphemism for the Bnei Yisrael, they deserved shechita, they deserve to die for this improper request. Shatuach, which means spread out. Tana Mishmeid of Yeshua ben Karcha, Al Tikri Shatuach, El Shachot. It should mean Shachot. Malameid, Sheyerid Lehen, Le Yisrael, Im Haman, Tavish Shatan Shechita. That what fell with the man was something that required shechita, namely the birds, the slav. It's difficult, the timeline here is difficult. What? It doesn't work, because the slav came not with the man. Amar Rebbe, v'chimikana talama, that's what we learn at Shechita. V'halom kvar nemer, already said, v'yimter aleim ka'afar sha'ar u'kachol of kanaf, v'tanya, Rebbe Omer, v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. And as Rashi points out, the Bnei Yisrael doesn't say anywhere in the Torah where they were commanded about v'zavachta, how to do Shechita. It must be it was an oral tradition. Milamech and Stav Moshe al Veshet ve'alakana, that Moshe had already once upon a time an unstated place taught about Shechita, the Veshet, the esophagus and the windpipe. Al rov echad ba'ov, you need the majority of one of these simanim for a bird. Ve'al rov shnayim be'behema, and the majority of both of them for a behema. Elamatam adlamer shatuach. So what does it mean shatuach? It was spread out. Milamech yard lehem mashtichin mashtichin. That the slav was piled up, it was layers and layers and layers of slav. Ksiv lechem, ksiv shemen, ksiv dvash. The man is called lechem, shemen, and dvash. What does that mean? Amar of Yosi, Rebbe Chanina, l'na'arim lechem. For the young, strong boys, it was lechem. L'zakenim, shemen. For the older people, they don't eat bread. It's too hard. That was oil. L'tinokos, and for the young children, dvash, it was honey. Ksiv slav. It says slav, which there's no nekudos in the Torah, so it could be read as shalav, which means peace, contentment. But for Korean slav, we call it slav. So Amar v'chanina, tzadikim ochel osam b'shalva. Tzadikim eat in peace. For Rishayim ochel osam v'dom lehem kisilvim. They eat, and it's like Rashi says, kotim in Aramaic. It's like thorns, meaning they don't get any hana from their food. Amar v'chanan bar rava, dal minei slav hein. There are four types of slav. The Elohim, what these are them. Sichli, the Kibli, the Pisioni, the Slav. Pisioni is peasant. For Moshe it's a tshuva, whether it's mutter to eat peasant. Because birds have to have a mesora. It can't just be that the Saman in Gemara Chulin, besides just in the Torah, there are only birds that are not kosher. But we have a mesora, the Gemara has other Samanim of birds, and he had a whole shaila whether or not peasant was one of the Samanim and whether there was a mesora to eat peasant, especially in America. It was an American, same thing with Turkey, similar shaila. Malia de Kulu Sikhli, the best one of them is the Sikhli. Garita de Kulu Slav, the worst one is the Slav. Vavi Kitipirta, it's like a bird, Umasvin Leba Tanura, they put it in an oven, the Tafach, and it would expand because it's getting hot. They have Imili Tanura, Umaskin and Le Atlesa Rifi, and they would put 13 loaves of bread stacked one on top of the other. The Achrona Edenel Chelz Elia de Taroveth. It was so fattening, this bird, that the bottom of the 13 loaves was so fat that they couldn't eat it by itself. They could only eat it with something else, meaning like as a dip. The bread. Imagine what the top one looked like. That's how much fat these birds. That's how fattening they were. The bottom of the 13 loaves was so rich that it could only be eaten tarovas. It could only be eaten with a mixture. Rabbi Yehuda have mishtachas le bei dani. Rabbi Yehuda used to find peasants in his these slav in his barrels, among his barrels. Meaning Hashem would give him right these peasant these birds in his barrels. Rav Chista mishtachas le bei tzivi. Rav Chista would find these birds in his wood chest, which I thought we did this Gemara on Tisha B'Av, that right when Rav Chista said the best thing is the wood, right when the Bnei Yisrael, there was a siege, and some said I'll supply the wheat, I'll supply this, I'll supply the wood, and Rav Chista said the best one is the wood, because if without wood you can't cook without wood, and he said I gave all my keys to all my storehouses to all my attendants, but not the wood key that I kept for myself. Right, so that's in the woodshed is where Rav Chista found his shevach. Rava ma'isile arisa kol yome. Every day, Rav Chista would Rava, who was the son-in-law and the Talmud of Rav Chista, he would send his sharecropper to go bring birds from Rav Chista to go eat them. Yom achad lo aisi. One day they didn't bring. Amar say, he said, "My hai, what's going on?" So they told him. Salak le'igra shamal yinuka. He went out and he heard that there was a child who was learning. And what did the child say? The ka'amah, he said, shamati, I heard, v'tirgaz bebitni, and I was shaking in my stomach. It's a pasuk. But when Rava heard that, right, he knew that it was a message. It wasn't just stam, a coincidence. Right? Nothing ever is. So when he heard the baby, the child learning, he realized, amar shmamina noch nafshid Rav Chista. Rav Chista died. He knew that Rav Chista died, and Ubadil Rabav Achal Talmuda. When the Rav dies, the Talmud no longer eats. Meaning his father-in-law, his Rebbe, has passed away, and now those birds are no longer here. Ksib, it says, Vatal Shikvas Atal, that the dew was on top. Ksib, where does Atal? And the dew fell. So what's Pshat? The moment was on top of the dew, and the dew fell? Yeah. Amar of Yotzi, Rebbe Chanina, Talmud Malav, Talmud Mata. Vedomalosh, Renuch, Bekutza. Like it was in a box. Dak umchuspas. What does that mean? Dak. Dak means thin. What does umchuspas mean? Amar shalakish davar shenimuach al pisas ayad. Something that the zal is in your hand. Rabbi Yochanan amar davar shenivla, but masayan ve'arba ushmona evarim. Something that absorbed into your 248 limbs, because the word umchuspas is gematria 248. So gematria says umchuspas tu bahavi. It's more than 248. So amar of Nachman by Yitzchak no umchuspas ksev without the vav. If you take the vavs out, then it equals exactly 248. Tana Rabbanan, lechem ebirim. One was called lechem. What's lechem ebirim? Achal ish lechem shemalach esharos ochlan oso. It's bread which the malachim eat. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, as Rabbi Akiva says, bread which malachim eat. Kishe amru divar lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. When they told us Rabbi Shmuel, amar lehem, he told them, tzuv amar lo Akiva. Go tell Rabbi Akiva. Akiva to Isa, you're wrong. This is different than I disagree with you, Rabbi Akiva. You're wrong. Malachim eat. Malachim don't eat. V'chim malachim yashar is ochel lechem. They don't eat. V'lot far nemar lechem lo achal tu yimayim Moshe sisi. Moshe didn't eat for 40 days. Malachim don't eat. Ella mani mekai me birim. Lechem shenivla b'masayim v'bar shemon evarim. So it means that it equals 248 and all your evarim. So what, Rekiva knew, didn't think that malachim don't, Rekiva thought malachim eat. What's pshat? No, Rekiva thought that everything is hashpah from Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva just translated into normal ways we can understand that. Somehow Hashem sustains a malach. What is that? We have no concept what that means. So Rabbi Akiva said Hashem gives a malachim food. We can understand. That's all it means. Elmani mekayim. So if that's pshat, what does it mean in the pasuk v'yesetia ala dinecha? That among your shovel, among your kalim, should have a shovel. Why? So if you have to go to the bathroom, you can cover it over. It shouldn't be a bizayim. But they didn't have to go to the bathroom. The lechem was absorbed in all their body. So what do they need a shovel for? So Devarim, so what's the answer? Devarim should take me umas alamokrono somehem. What the other travelers, the other nomads would sell to the Bnei Yisrael. They bought that they had to go to the bathroom. But report to Omar, no, after Devarim should take me umas alamokrono lahem, mun mafigin. The mun would take care of that too. They still ate mun. Even if they bought some cookies from somebody, whatever they bought, the mun still took care of that. Ella mani mekayim v'yotetia ala zinecha. What does it mean? You have to have a shovel. Lachashesarchu. No, after they ate the slav. Then things changed. I'll do one more minute. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amarti Yu K'malchei Hashoreis. Achshav Yitarecha Sam Shalosh Parsos. I told you you could be like Malachim. You can have money like Malachim. You didn't want it. You wanted slav. Now you're gonna have to walk three parsa, right? Because you have to walk outside the machna to go to the bathroom. Because they never knew where the machna would be. They never knew where they would move. So they couldn't go to the bathroom here. Because in 20 minutes this could be where the Aron's gonna be. So they have to walk outside three parsa. So if the camp would move, there would never be. It wouldn't be a bezayim. The ksiv v'yachnu al yarden mibeis hayishimos ad evel hashitim. Vam Rabbi Rachana l'didi chazli Yahuasa. I once saw that place. Rabbi Tosa parsa. It was three parsa. Ukeshu kishem nif nafin. When they went to the bathroom, ain if nafin el lefneyan. They could only go. They couldn't go in front. Well, it's today in el acha. They only had to travel back three parsa to make sure that they were never going to be near the makom of the bachna. Okay, we'll stop here. It's late, and we'll continue tomorrow. Everybody have a very well. Tomorrow we'll answer the question about we're allowed to think that the monk could be non kosher food.